In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good afternoon. It's very good to see you again. To give you a little bit of structure, it's at this time in the Mass that you'll normally hear me give you the announcements. So this is normal for me to announce some things at this time. I never thought I'd come back. I never thought it was possible that I could come back, because that's not normal. But then again, the pastor you had before, last week, he's not normal either. Because in the last 50 years, there's been very precious few times where a priest has ever gone back to any parish that he's ever been a part of before. Father Sotera Sena has violated that principle many times. Thrice you were in Santa Rosa. Yes, thrice. Three times. Yes. And now here I am violating that principle as well. The only other one would be St. George up there in Las Vegas, Father George. I really thought that it was never possible for me to come back to you. And so for the past day, I wondered what it is that we needed to speak about, what things would go on. And it's just so surreal for me to be back in this place. I don't even know. I wish it were better circumstances, whereas I would not be shared, but rather to be a pastor of one parish. The only time I've been a pastor of one parish in my whole life was the past 10 months. Before that, shared between Vaughan and Santa Rosa, and here, shared again between you and Santa Rosa. And so like I shared with you before, my heart isn't big enough to be a father of two parishes. And so we have to pray for our Lord to continue to work a miracle, that by his power, it can be big enough. Our Lord is powerful enough. As I asked you 4 years ago, to pray for your young pastor, to teach your young pastor how to be a pastor, to form him continually, that he might be truly for you as he is called, a father. I ask you again, here 4 years later, to do the same. Pray for me. Please pray for me. There'll be many adjustments that each of us have to make. But in this life, as our Lord spoke many times, he said, in this world, you will have struggles. But know this, I have overcome the world. That's not me having overcome the world, or you having overcome the world. Our Lord has overcome the world, Jesus Christ. In him we trust. And so today, there is a homily that I prepared, and I gave it in Santa Rosa. Do it differently here. Because our Lord is not, contrary to belief, is not doing the same thing in Santa Rosa as he is in Fort Sumner, nor is he doing the same thing in Fort Sumner as he's doing in Vaughan or anywhere else. The Lord is doing something different and special, particularly here. And so it's incumbent upon each of us to make sure that we are paying attention to what it is that he's trying to do here in this place. If you want to listen to that homily, it'll be uploaded to the internet, I'm sure, later today or tomorrow. Do something different today. Do something different here and now. Let's enter into this time of the homily. Jesus said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So let us ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You see, our Lord in the gospel that Deacon Sena gave for us there. By the way, it's really good to hear your voice again. I've missed that voice proclaiming the gospel for a long time. You do it well. In the gospel, what do we have there? Jesus is there, and he sends forth the 72 disciples that he sends forth in that time. Why is Jesus doing this? Why is Jesus sending 72 men out? We need to examine what's going on in there. So feel free to look through it. We're going to go over what it is that our Lord is actually putting before us there. He sent out 72 to the places which he would visit. Why is Jesus trying to teach us today here in the year 2019 in Fort Sumner, New Mexico? What is he trying to speak to us here? You see, Jesus, where is he? He's on his way. He's on his path. In the book right here, as we're going through it in Luke chapter 10, Jesus is already on his pathway to Jerusalem. He's headed there. Why is he going there? He's not going there because he just wants to make a visit, because he's looking forward to making a trip. He's going there because the Father impels him forward. The Father calls him in that direction. Why is he going there? Because the Spirit leads him in this way. He doesn't do what he wills, as we see time and time again in the Scriptures. He only does what the Father has sent him to do. Why is Jesus going? He's going for the same reason in which he was born into this world, when he took residence in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary for 9 months. That same reason is to suffer, to die, and ultimately to rise. That's his mission. That's the mission of Jesus. His name means he saves, salvation. And so here in the 10th chapter of Luke, Jesus sends out those 72 disciples before him, and this shows that Jesus what? That Jesus wants something. He's got a mission, but he's not doing it himself. He's got a mission, but he's not all about himself alone accomplishing this. No, he wants to gather those who are around him. Remember, how many apostles were there? 12 apostles. He only had 12 apostles, and yet we find here 72. That's a lot more than 12, isn't it? The 12 were included in that. So he reaches out even beyond his 12 special ones who he's called there, and he wants to include others into the mission. His mission. The same mission. Whose mission is it? It's Jesus' mission. Every one of us, you and I, Deacon right here, Senna, Gabriel, Joaquin, each of us, we all have a mission that our Lord is sending us for here in Fort Sumner, and it's being a disciple. Being a disciple means what? It means that we have a privilege that nobody else has. From the very first moment when you are baptized in that baptismal font, God sets you forth on a mission. And that's of being his disciple. And that great privilege is first that you get to know God. To know who he is, to know who his most sacred heart is as he reveals himself to you, but also that you have an opportunity to respond and to love him, to find yourself in the midst of his love, there in the very center of his most sacred heart, and he invites you for a response, which is service, to do and to act in this life. You see, some of the churches down the street or up the street or around the corner, each of them, oftentimes what you hear is they talk about this, it's a Jesus and me mentality. It's about Jesus and me. It's about me just going alone and doing my thing with Jesus. It's all about that personal relationship. Yes, it is. Personal relationship is so important with Jesus. That's not the end. Jesus is calling you and me in a mission for so much more than a Jesus and me. He's calling us, as we've spoken on many times before in the past, as a Jesus and we together. That's why we gather here today at Mass, not just one of us. That's why we're not listening to it in the silence of our homes. Here together, because it's about a we mission, not just a me mission, that our Lord has called us to, that he sends us, and it begins exactly where we're at. The mission starts you and your spouse, husband and wife, and it moves out from that to your immediate family, children, grandchildren, and then it goes beyond that to everybody else who's in your personal sphere of influence. That's the mission right there. You don't have to make your trip all the way to China or to somewhere there in Arabia where you certainly would suffer death proclaiming the name of Christ, even today. Your mission is here in Fort Sumner, exactly where he puts us. So where does Jesus send his disciples? It says it there in those next verses there. It says, quote, he says he sends them to every town in which he intended to go, which he intended to visit. So what's the focus of the mission? The focus of the mission is him. Jesus is the focus of the mission. He is the focus of the mission. It's about where he goes. It's about him. We're all just preparing for the visit. Jesus wants to visit you. Did you know that? That Jesus wants to visit Fort Sumner. He wants to be present here. He wants to draw you and me to a place where we can prepare his way so that he can have that intimate encounter with every soul who is here in Fort Sumner. That's the mission of St. Anthony's. Make no mistake, it's not changed. The mission of St. Anthony's Parish here in Fort Sumner isn't just to touch all the lives of the Catholics who are here. False. The mission of St. Anthony's here is to touch every soul in the parish boundaries here for Christ, to draw them into the love that is found only in Jesus here in the Eucharist. You're very privileged to be here, and so am I. The mission is not about us. The mission is only about Jesus. You know, I'm reminded of a time when a bishop who's very close to us, Bishop Thomas J. Olmsted of Phoenix. You know who he is? If you ever hear anything that he says, that he writes, anything, grab onto it and devour it. It's so good because the word of God is strong with that man. He speaks with authority of the spirit of a true apostle, as all bishops are. Thomas J. Olmsted, this great bishop, on the day of his ordination, was feeling unworthy of his call. And so he went to the bishop who was about to ordain him, and he expressed that to him. He said, I'm not worthy. I don't know if I can do this, bishop. I mean, no, I'm prepared, but am I ready? And the bishop just looked at him and called him Thomas. That's his first name. He said, Thomas, if Jesus could use a simple ass to ride into Jerusalem for his work, then he can even use the likes of you and me to do his work today. He said, Thomas, if Jesus could ride into Jerusalem to accomplish his work on an ass, he can use even somebody like you and me to do his work today. That's the same. That's the same for each of us. Jesus wants to use us to go in that mission. All we have to do is just like that ass, just like that donkey, to be willing to go, to willing to let the Lord ride us and to be with us and to take us to places where you and I can't even imagine. A big obstacle that comes up in our lives often is what? A big obstacle is that we often, when we're called, when we feel a movement, when we feel that tug of the Spirit upon our lives, we put up these obstacles just like Moses did in Exodus. We put up those things and say, look, I'm not worthy. I've got a past. I've got all sorts of things that everybody knows about that I was a part of. And if I start doing what's right now, they're just going to bring it up and throw it in my face. I'm not worthy. In fact, I don't even have any skills. I don't know the scriptures that well. I'm not even sure how to pray. I don't pray my rosary every day like I know that I should. I don't do it well, God. You can't use me. Just call somebody else. So many better people than me. But you see, that gets it wrong. The mission is not about you. It's not about me. It's not about Deacon Senna over here. It's not about any of us. The mission is only about Jesus. It's only about the Lord. The mission is not about us. You see, God always provides for every way and every good thing that he inspires. God always provides the way. If he calls you to it, he's going to bring you through it in the very real sense of it all. The only thing that you and me need to do to see his work accomplished here in Fort Sumner, in our lives, in our families, is this. I forgot to bring it for you today. I apologize. It will be here next week. I always have at the back of my church a beautiful devotion to the holy face of Jesus. The holy face of Jesus that you can put up anywhere, all over your house, in your car, in your room, tape it to your mirror, so that you can look at the face of Jesus, the holy face, gazing deeply back at you. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. If you keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus, that's the goal of our mission. The goal of the mission is to be fixed on Jesus. You see, when we do that, when we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, we're able to receive the great blessing that is ours alone, that is ours as Catholics, that we have that friendship with Jesus Christ, that we have a share in his mission as he brings us along with him of redemption, and we have even a foretaste of that divine life that he plants in us from the very first moment of our baptism. That's what grace is, his strength to continue to go on. He's closer to us by his grace living in us than we are even to ourselves. And so what are we going to be pushing? We're going to be pushing this whole time that God blesses us together, maybe long or short, God knows. The very next thing that Jesus says. Jesus says, prayer is important. He says, pray. Our Lord says, pray. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, worthy laborers, into his harvest. That's what we need to do. We need to pray. To pray that the Lord sends worthy ministers into his harvest. See, Jesus combines two things that we often want to separate within our lives, doesn't he? He combines two things. We always want to separate our work from our prayer. I'm doing my thing of work. I'm going out doing my thing in the secular life and the job that I have, or whatever tasks I have to do at home, and then I move over to prayer. And then I do this thing, and then I come back to the work and do that. And then at the very end of my day, I go back to prayer. But our Lord combines them. Our Lord combines them. He wants us to see that the two always must be together, that we must pray as we work. And especially he asks us to put that priority on our prayer life, because life can be burdensome. We're going to pray this at the very end, right after communion. You're going to hear me say that verse from Matthew chapter 11. What does Jesus say there? It's also the very same readings that we use for the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Jesus says what? He says, come unto me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Those of you who find life burdensome, who are just pooped at the end of your day, and you don't feel like you have strength, there's too much going on in your life. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. If you but take my yoke upon your shoulders and you learn from me the way that I do things, you're going to see that my yoke is in fact easy, though it seemed hard at first. My burden is in fact light, even though you may think it's too heavy for you, I lift it. Only with me will you find rest for your weary soul. Come to me, he says. And so what you and I have to do during this time is to do something that we haven't done sufficiently. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into his harvest. So that means what? That means I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to pray for you. Why? Because I can't do this ministry on my own. I can't come anywhere close. Never have been able to and never will be able to. That's you. This is your parish. You got to make sure that all those things that are necessary for a church to be alive and active is accomplished here. That's on you and on your own generosity with the Lord as he calls you today. Have a generous response. But we also need to pray for something that's been sorely missing in this time. To pray that the Lord will send worthy ministers into his harvest. We're talking about priests. We're talking about young men who say yes to the call of God. You know, St. Don Bosco, I always carry a relic of St. Don Bosco with me. In fact, St. John Vianney as well. Unfortunately, I left them in the car right there. I meant to bring them with me. I always keep them close to me. Don Bosco and St. John Vianney. John Vianney, the patron of priests. Don Bosco, a personal friend of mine. What he said is, he said, I'm firmly convinced that one out of every three Catholics is called to a divine vocation. Why? Because just as one third of heaven fell at the begging of Lucifer, so our Lord calls one third to be substantially united to himself, to fill up that which is lacking in the ministry of the angels because of the fall of Satan. One out of every three. How many men have come out from this parish and said yes to Jesus, to a divine vocation? The only one I've ever seen on the books is here present, Father Sotelo Senna. That means many others have been called and said no, or been called and had people distract them, or been called and had people say, no, don't do that. We don't want you to do that. Go this way instead. What are we doing to promote vocations to the priesthood and to the religious life? God is calling indeed. In fact, in Santa Rosa right now, we have two young men, juniors this year, who are going to leave to enter the seminary as soon as they graduate from. We have another couple of young men who are discerning it at much younger ages than that who have come up to me and said, Father, I want to be a priest. Pray for me. Our Lord is calling. Are we asking them? I'll tell you something from myself. Maybe I shared it with you a long time ago. There were so many people within my own life who came up to me at times when I wasn't discerning, when I was never thinking about this at all. My mind was totally different from this. But they said, hey, have you ever thought about becoming a priest? I remember one time when I was there at my choir. And a man came up to me who had been in the choir. He was the next youngest person. He was about 20 years older than me. It was a very old choir. He came up to me when I was all alone at choir practice, and he said, hey, Christopher, have you ever thought about becoming a priest? A priest? I mean, I don't really know what that is, but I mean, no, I've not thought about that. I plan on getting married when I have at least 13 kids, by the way. I told that to all the young ladies before as well. No takers, I guess. But that man said, well, I think you should think about it. Because you already know the words. I watch you during the Mass, and you pray them with the priest. You've got them memorized. Maybe our Lord's calling you. Many people like that came up to me at various random moments when they'd see me at daily Mass, other moments, have you thought about it? And then I know what they would do next, although I didn't know it at the time, that they'd say a prayer for me. Are you doing that? Our Lord calls many men to the priesthood. So few answer. So few prepare the way. So many distract them from it. Do we value our faith? Our Lord says, pray the Lord of the harvest. You deserve a priest of your own. Indeed, you do. You very much deserve a priest of your own, but for so long we have not promoted here within this parish a culture of vocation. And so that needs to change. That needs to change because the church needs to be built up in every age. And there are men even here who our Lord is calling. Not to mention all the young women who he is calling as well to enter into religious life and consecrated life. Do we pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send worthy and faithful ministers into his vineyard? That's going to be our mission. So every day, every time we have Mass, we're going to pray a prayer for vocations. We're going to pray, we're going to believe that our Lord is going to answer that prayer. We're going to pray and believe that he's not just going to answer the prayer in some amorphous way and bring up nice vocations out there in Africa who will come here and minister to us. No. We're not even just going to pray that God would raise up vocations somewhere off in Gallup, New Mexico, or way in Albuquerque at some distant mega parish that's there. Pray that our Lord brings up vocations even here. Even here. Because our Lord desires to do so. He says in the book of James, you have not because you ask not. So long we have not asked. Now we will. And we'll do it together as a community. So toward that end, I wish to leave you with a beautiful prayer from Pope St. Pius the 12th. Venerable Pope St. Pius the 12th. This is a prayer that he wrote and composed for vocations. And I'd like you to close your eyes and with the best of your heart and the best you can to really ask our Lord in agreement for these same things which his venerable Pope of the Church, a very mighty man of God, petitioned our Lord in his day. The petition is so true and so needed even in our day. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, High Priest and Universal Shepherd, you have taught us to pray, saying, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. Therefore, we today here in Fort Sumner beseech you graciously to hear the supplications and to raise up many generous souls inspired by your holy example and supported by your grace, that they may conceive the ardent desire to enter the ranks of your sacred ministers in order to continue the office of your one holy priesthood. Although your priests live in the world as dispensers of the mysteries of God, yet their mission demands that they be not men of this world. Grant then that the insidious lies and vicious slanders directed against the priesthood by the malignant enemy, the devil, and abetted by the world through its spirit of indifference and materialism may not dim the brilliance of light with which they shine before men, nor lessen the profound and reverent esteem due to them. Grant that the continual promotion of religious instruction, that true piety, that purity of life and devotion to the highest ideals may prepare the groundwork for vocations among the youth. May the Christian family, as a nursery of pure and pious souls, become the unfailing source of good vocations, ever firmly convicted of the great honor that can redound to the Lord through the same, through some of its numerous offspring. Come to the aid of your church, that always and in every place she may have at her disposal the means necessary for the reception, for the promotion, for the formation and mature development of all the good vocations that may arise. For the full realization of all these things, O Jesus, you who are most zealous for the welfare and salvation of all, may your graces continually descend from heaven and move many hearts by their irresistible force, first in the silent invitation that you make, then in a generous cooperation with your work, and finally in the perseverance in that holy service to you. Lord Jesus, art thou not moved in seeing the crowds of sheep without a shepherd, without anyone to break for them the bread of thy word or lead them to drink at the fountains of thy grace so that they are all continually in danger of becoming prey to the ravenous wolves? Does it not grieve you, O Lord, to behold so many unplowed fields where thorns and thistles are allowed to grow in undisputed possession? Are you not saddened, precious Jesus, that many of your gardens, which once were so green and productive, are now on the verge of becoming fallow and barren through neglect? O Mary, Mother most pure, through whose compassion we have received the holiest of priests. O glorious patriarch Saint Joseph, perfect model of cooperation with the divine call. O holy priests, who in heaven compose a choir about the Lamb of God, obtain for us many vocations in order that the Lord's flock, through the support and government of vigilant shepherds, may attain to the enjoyment of the most delightful pastures of eternal happiness. We ask this through your most holy name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.